The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, it's Professor Nico Seymour.
It's good to be here.
Continuing around with, I've noticed the striped in one direction tie gig that everybody has today.
Well, I've just been to a funeral, burial, and funeral luncheon.
Oh my gosh.
Very nice funeral luncheon, I have to say. I mean, it was a nice funeral too. But
okay.
The funeral luncheon was, morbid fool you.
Well, the funeral luncheon was the snazziest I've ever been to. It was at Cafe Cortina.
Oh my. Wow, very nice.
Oh, wonderful food.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Jim Tubbs.
Yes, here I am.
Yes, I'm sorry you had to do that.
Well, we all have to do that.
Yes, it is true. It is a part of life.
Yes.
However,
yes,
now I find it even slightly more hilarious that the first thing you said when you sat down is, what's the score? I'm sure there was at least a few people on their phones during ceremony, perhaps.
Maybe.
Luncheon. Professor Joe Abbasid makes up the triumvirate final of the slanty stripe tie gang. How's it going, Joe?
Good, I do, but not the correct color. Yes.
Oh, no, that's fine. Those are, yeah, you know, Detroit Mercy colors.
Detroit,
that's wonderful.
Mercy color. I actually have a Detroit Mercy tie.
Yeah.
I had bought it when I was doing my campus interview here last year. It didn't ship in time.
Oh.
And but it's distinctively Detroit Mercy colors.
That would have been your in during the interview.
In the previous academic position I had, I also wore their school colors, and they noticed it right away. So,
love it.
Should I ever have to do another campus interview, I will make sure to wear campus colors.
Well, since ours are red, white, and blue, a lot of people wear those colors.
Yeah, but it was the shade of red and okay, the shade of blue. It was actually University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, interesting.
A tie. Not quite. There was a good one for Detroit Mercy. I forget what school it was. It was based out of England, but it was out of stock.
Oh, too bad. Oh. Too bad. Well, I hope you don't have to interview anywhere else. I may have
I hope not either.
Gently knocked on wood here. Make sure that doesn't have to happen. But that's a nice in, you know. We even give interviewing tips to our listeners. I think that's cool.
You can interview at Auburn University.
Yeah, that's right.
Would that
be? Or University of Florida.
University perhaps of Virginia.
Or,
Virginia,
of course.
Mm-hmm. Or Illinois.
Illinois, which is where I purchased the tie. Just works really well with the Tigers.
It
orange
does
and blue. Continuing around the table, another well-known Tigers fan, Professor Kendra Evans, apparently literal seconds after we walked away from the lobby of our building, someone hit a two-run homer, which is why the Tigers now lead the game.
This is a good thing I left, because look at what happened.
It's not because of you. It's
are you sure?
Of you.
I'd like to take credit for that.
I sat and watched the game for about 3.5 innings, and absolutely nothing happened. And then we left, and the fun
are you
started.
The reason then, Matt?
No, okay. I'm not the reason. But right, if you want to blame me, I won't hold it against
you'll take
you
the fall. Okay.
That's right. Those are the tones of Professor Dave Chow, who's drinking Power C vitamin water.
Whatever this is.
Yep.
I don't know. I just got out of the machine. I was desperate.
The Chow Man.
I was running all over God's green earth. I had to get to Ernie's Market before they closed today.
That's right.
I'm taking
that's
care
right
of my students on Monday.
Mm.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Coffee. That's our suggestion for today. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. We were finishing up some questions. Still have a good healthy number left from Mr. Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. The last one we had knocked off was pretty much a straightforward no-brainer. What is the name of the famous salad created at the J.L. Hudson department store? That's the Maurice salad. Yes.
Some people call me Maurice.
Yes. Some people call me a space cow.
But never
along
call
with
it
the pompous of love.
But never call me late for dinner.
That's right. What band had a rider in their standard contract musical band stating there were to be no brown M&Ms?
Rolling Stones.
It says here it was not the Rolling Stones.
The Beatles?
The Who?
Not the Beatles. Not the Who.
Aerosmith.
It says Van Halen. Van Halen.
You were called Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen and
no brown M&Ms?
No brown M&Ms.
They're the only legitimate ones in there.
They hid them in there just to see if people were reading the rider.
Yeah, because the riders are like hundreds of pages long.
That's true.
I think if somebody would have thought about it enough to put that in the rider, they would have paid a lot of attention when they got there.
I want to know what happened to the tan M&Ms. I know they brought red back after I was a kid, but I grew up with tan.
Well, they got rid of the red because red number two, right?
Yes.
Or the yeah. scare thereof.
Almost 15 years.
The Tan one was just kind of boring.
It was boring, absolutely.
They didn't really stand out.
You don't want to get bored with a sixth of your candy.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, when we grew up, Red or Not, there was absolutely no blue. That was a very recent addition.
Yes.
Yeah, but where's warm purple? Colors.
Where is purple?
That's a Skittle.
Yeah. I know, but why not have it in the M&M's?
Because you wouldn't know if you're eating M&M's or Skittles.
Sometimes,
except for the brown ones.
Or think about
I've
it.
Seen you them. Sometimes around Easter, they make M&M's that are like yellow lavender. And purple.
No, that's true. Mm-hmm.
No,
that's true.
I've always considered that one to be the most evil practical jokes. Mix M&M's and Skittles together, put out a bowl, and just watch people freak out.
What kind of person are you, Professor Dave?
I'm terrible. I'm absolutely terrible.
And by freak out, do you mean smile with delight?
I would.
He would. Yeah, he would.
Me
yeah.
too.
I'm evil.
He would grin.
I would smile with delight upon eating them. Okay. Because at the end of the day, it's like you're either eating M&M's or Skittles. How bad could it be?
Can't go wrong.
Skittles are delicious. There's only candy I'll eat. And good and plenty, too.
I like a Twix bar.
Oh, I love a Twix bar.
It's the only candy with the cookie crumb.
I like a Kit Kat, too.
I like a Kit Kat, but the people that just bite them and don't segment them first...
That would drive you insane.
That is a kind of civil disobedience, the yes. likes of which Tree has never seen.
In the years 2006 and 2007, what restaurant chain was the largest provider of free Wi-Fi in these United States?
McDonald's?
Not McDonald's. This is 06, 07.
Denny's.
It wasn't Denny's.
Starbucks.
It is a one that we have around here.
Burger King.
Starbucks.
Not Burger King. Actually, I think you guys, we could call it fast food if we wanted to, but it's not really counted in the same category for most people.
Chipotle?
Fast food. Not Chipotle. Qdoba.
No, 2006.
Panera.
Panera is what it says here.
Oh, yeah. I could see that with the coffee cafe.
Yeah, because I kept nothing at Starbucks.
It's categorized as a quick service restaurant.
Quick service. That's one step up from fast food. Yes.
So to speak.
This is pretty remarkable, especially in light of this show being recorded on opening day. In what year did the Little Caesars pizza chain first offer the $5 hot and ready?
I think it's been around forever.
What? 93?
Yeah.
It was after 93.
It was in my life.
2005?
I'm giving it to you. It's 2004. 13 years in running.
Wow. Pretty amazing. And they haven't raised the prices.
They have not. They have absolutely not.
I still remember as a little kid, my mom would go off to work and buy... Do you remember the pizza? You get that two pizzas for $5?
With that giant paper you had to rip
off. We were just reminiscing about that at lunchtime today.
Yeah, my brother would get one pizza and I'd get the other one and just fold it up, eat it like a sandwich.
I don't know much about economics, but I know a little bit about marketing, and I'm guessing the $5 hot and ready basically saved Little Caesars. It was not doing very well about 13 years ago. Mm. They made their menu have only a couple things on it, and the rest is history.
It was a good decision.
Unbelievable.
Keep it simple.
What single menu item at McDonald's brings in 40% of its annual profit? Single menu item.
Fries.
Yeah.
Not fries.
Chicken nuggets.
Quarter pounder.
No, you guys are actually thinking of specific food things, and I'm actually talking about a combination of those foods.
Like a breakfast?
Nope.
Happy Meal.
A combo.
Happy Meal.
Oh, Happy Meal.
Happy Meal.
No Angry Meals on this McDonald's. Happy.
What percentage is it?
40% of profits.
Okay, so parents make up 60% then.
Basically, that's it. Although I have known a few, I do weird things too. I just flew back from San Francisco, and on the free movies, I'm watching Moana. I'm like, I haven't seen it yet. It looks like it was really good. Good music. But I have seen a lot of adults order Happy Meals thinking, okay, this is a proportion that I'm,
do they still have the All-American meal? Because that was like that, but you didn't have to pay for the toy.
I thought that was Denny's.
Mm.
They had an All-American meal at McDonald's.
And what did it consist of?
It was like a cheeseburger, fries, and a small drink. And it was like $2, $2.50.
The Grand Slam. That's what they call it at Denny's.
The Grand Slam?
Yeah. At Denny's.
Yeah, Denny's.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That was also good. Yeah. That's fine. I like that.
Who's
as well.
First?
Wait, so All-American was McDonald's?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. That sounds about right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Even though for those of us who are Canadians.
Canadian McDonald's is a different company.
Uh-oh. Is that bad news about the game?
It's 4-1 now.
That's okay. Just close it out.
I got it right.
In 1947, which very famous actress at the time was named the first Queen of Artichokes?
Queen of Artichokes?
Yes.
Hold on. What year?
It has 47. It was had nothing to do with who she was, but she was Queen of Artichokes.
47.
She wasn't artichoke colored.
Doris Day.
You're in the wheelhouse.
She just turned 95.
JFK.
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe was the first queen.
Oh, she was the artichoke queen.
Didn't know she had that title, too.
Yeah. Hmm. Among others.
Based on gross tonnage, what is the world's most popular spice?
Chili.
Salt? No, salt's not
pepper.
Spice,
it says pepper here. Oh, peppercorns. Yeah, yeah.
So what would, is salt? Salt's not a spice.
Salt's a mineral.
Is it a spice?
I think it's a spice.
I think it's a mineral.
I don't think it's a spice.
Well, it's a seasoning.
It's a seasoning.
It's a seasoning, but it's not sold as a spice. You buy it at a spice shop.
I think a spice is like something that comes from a plant. I think that would be the
difference. That's what you're... Okay, well then pepper makes sense.
Pepper makes sense. In what state, 1908, was a tea bag invented? How interesting.
I'm sorry, what? 1908?
1908.
Is when
in
that
what
came
state
about?
Was a tea bag?
California.
Invented? I believe that it may be like the mass produced tea bag that we know today.
Maine.
Not in general,
Boston.
A tea bag. Yes. It was not in Massachusetts, no.
Oklahoma.
No, it was not.
We got 47.
Rhode Island.
Can we get a time zone?
Close to Massachusetts?
Maine.
Nope.
New York.
New Hampshire.
New York is what I've got here.
New Jersey. York.
Thomas Sullivan invented the mass-produced tea bag in 1908.
James Lipton?
It was not
he
Lipton.
He was around back then. I just found out that James Lipton is 90.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 90.
That's he's awesome. From here, too.
Yes.
From around here.
He is.
Yeah, he's a Detroiter.
Lipton. Unbelievable.
90.
Oddly, especially because Nico just mentioned it, what is the state of Oklahoma's state vegetable?
They eat vegetables there.
I tell you what, you think about it, but we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
I'm
telling you how the pros
there
handle
goes.
These.
It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it,
that's
George.
Right. Bang, that's
how
it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
whoa.
Isn't it?
Or,
well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Top chick.
There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy that... Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time. And the man said, it's none of your business. And he said, oh, yes, it is. And the man said to him, you must be Dwight L. Moody.
That's good.
Oh, dear. That's wonderful.
And we are back. Let me tell you, oddly, what is the state of Oklahoma's state vegetable? I believe the oddly was added because it's not really viewed as a vegetable.
The sweet potato.
What, like a watermelon? Like
it's a watermelon.
No!
Is what it is.
No!
No!
Wow.
It's a bad joke.
Our crack research team on this right now. That is exactly what it says here. So I have no reason to doubt.
I like Jim's idea of rutabaga. But...
I was right. There are no vegetables in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
My apologies sugar, to our listeners.
Geez.
Sugar water.
Like Volkswagen.
I liked how you went for the tuber. That would have been where I would have gone.
Yeah.
The Dust Bowl special or something.
Soil.
Yeah.
Right. When he goes sweeping down the plane.
On average, someone has measured this. How many squirts from a cow's udder yield 1 gallon of milk?
1,000.
It is way
less
than 1,000.
That cow is
going
to be hurting.
10.
It's not
80.
10. It's not 80. It's higher than 80.
Oh, really?
300.
120.
Between you and Nico, I'll give it to you. It says 345 average squirts.
That's a lot of squeezing.
That is a lot of squeezing. Yep, that's a lot.
That's why they made machines for that.
Yes, that is exactly right.
I don't know what's going to hurt more, the farmer's hand or the cow's udder.
Probably the cow.
I guess.
Cow's got to repeat the whole thing again tomorrow at 5.
I'm going to go with cow.
All right.
What dish did writer Sasha Chapman consider the national dish of Canada over poutine as,
what?
Quote, it's the most purchased grocery item in the country, unquote.
Hold on. What was the last line again?
The most purchased
it's
grocery
the most purchased
item.
Grocery
oh, Kraft dinner.
Item. Kraft dinner, absolutely.
Oh, really? Mac and cheese.
Wiping the floor.
Mac and cheese.
Our Canadian ringer comes through.
It's, It's standard growing up, that's all.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if Frank was able to stump us, but we had a lot of fun. And yeah. Now...
Thanks, Frank.
On to more fun. Dear Matt and Profs, just tuned into this week's podcast, and my questions that I wrote a while back made it on the show. Thanks for getting to my previous set so quickly. That just puts a little bit of pressure on me to come up with even more challenging questions for the show. Fortunately, I had been stockpiling up a handful of odd facts over the last few weeks and decided to turn them into questions for your fine show. I hope these 20 questions make it on the air soon. 1, 2, 3 now. People Thank you, stockpile? Amber Hubley. Amber Hubley has sent us many questions in the past.
Yes, indeed.
What musical group starred in the movie Can't Stop the Music? Oh, my.
Was this a play or was it?
No,
it was inspired and won the first Raspberry Awards Worst Picture of the Year.
Nickelback.
That's a good guess.
Thank you.
I'm guessing this is 70s era.
It was a group?
Mm-hmm.
Styx, REO Speedwagon?
Loverboy.
My snarky friend in high school during the first Bush-Clinton election, I suppose there had been others in the future, but the Bush-Clinton election would have been 92. When inquired what he would be voting for, he said, a member of this group, he says, I really like the police officer's view on foreign policy.
Village People.
The Village People is what it was. Can't Stop the Music. Anybody ever actually seen this movie?
Valerie Perrine
was in there with them, yes.
Oh, and
yes.
Who else was in there?
People have heard of this.
You guys have seen
it. Yeah.
Amazing.
I just remember Valerie Perrine. I don't remember anything else.
If we just take the ingredients of Coca-Cola, what color is Coca-Cola before the brown food coloring is added?
Clear.
It's not clear.
Red.
That would have been my first guess, and it's not red.
Pink. Yellow, tan.
Cerulean.
Cerulean.
Black. Plaid.
It says here that it's greenish.
Green.
It's greenish.
Okay, all right.
That's ghastly.
Yeah, it is ghastly. Wouldn't be the same if it was clear, like Pepsi Clear. Crystal Pepsi? That's what I was thinking of. What country exports the most frog legs?
The States?
What country? It's not the United States. What
Vietnam.
Country? Exports. Nope.
Thailand.
Very close. Very close.
South Korea.
Nope.
Singapore.
Nope.
India.
Java.
Cambodia.
You're going to have to get this one wrong. It's Japan.
Oh.
I have a maximum 17 guess limit on all my examples.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have to cut the legs out from under that one.
Or the frogs, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Too bad Stephanie's not here. Who's considered the father of modern taxonomy?
Linnaeus.
Exactly. Carolus Linnaeus, or Carl
nice
von Linn
job.
To his friends.
Yeah, very well done. On
college.
Very well done. What was the first hotel in North America that offered 24-hour room service? It's in New York City.
Waldorf?
The Waldorf. The Waldorf Astoria.
Hold on, what did they do prior
service.
To?
20-hour room service, probably.
I guess somebody's got to sleep in.
What
named
city?
After William Waldorf Astor.
That's right. In what city of the fair state of Michigan was performer Mitch Ryder born?
Warren.
Pontiac?
Nope.
Highland Park?
Nope.
Grand Rapids?
Nope.
Ishpeming.
What part of the state?
Livonia.
Clawson.
Imlay City. He was not born in Clawson.
Marquette.
Where would he be born in Clawson? At World
the
9
streets.
Comics?
Yo.
It's a city very, very close to where we are now.
Hamtramck.
Royal Oak.
Hamtramck is what it says.
Hamtramck.
Hamtown. Yes.
Oh, is there a Hamtramck Hospital?
No, Henry Ford would be the closest
was
one.
Was birth in a hospital implicit?
Yes.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. Oh, Clawson, that's all.
That's a good question. Oh, it's a good question. Mm-hmm. What two-headed animal is on the national flag of Albania?
Two-headed animal?
Two-headed something.
Huh?
Is it a two-headed eagle like
it's
Russia?
An American
Poland?
Icon, yes. It's an eagle.
Oh.
Yeah, two-headed eagle.
Hmm.
That's common to many Slavic flags.
Yeah,
I think that
yeah the Russian imperial flag had
and
a two-headed.
What's the reason
and the
for
Polish
a two-headed
flag has got it.
Bird?
Two-headed bird.
Apparently, it can do more damage to you if it's got two heads.
I guess.
Name the two cities in the world as of June 2017, a few months from now, that will be opening Madame Tussauds Wax Museums. Mm. I'll give you a hint. One of them is in the United States of America, and the other one is not.
Oh, so they're not built yet.
These are cities.
About to open.
Oh, Des Moines, Iowa.
No.
Orlando.
You need to go north of Orlando, but you need to go east of Des Moines.
Atlanta, Philadelphia.
Well, Nashville.
Nashville. Yeah. Incredible. Wow. Absolutely incredible. Now, the other one opening is in a faraway land from the United States.
Japan.
Not Japan.
Indonesia.
China.
The second most populous country in the world.
India.
India.
Yes, it's in New Delhi is where they're going to be opening it in Madame Tussauds.
Hmm. Wax Museum in Nashville. Country music.
Sure.
Perfect sense. I hope they've got air conditioning for the wax museum in New Delhi.
It could be the melting museum.
Yeah, that is quite true.
Yes. Everybody looks
could
like
be pools of your favorite.
End of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
We should have a wax museum here of famous faculty.
Careful, somebody could be installing a wick right about now.
Alumni can come back and see their
it's an faculty.
Ask the professor.
Flashback.
Sneer at their professors.
Let's set somebody on fire in effigy. It's a slow burn.
Oh, my. There is a World Heritage Organization, which think of it like the state historic markers we have in the great state of Michigan, that goes all over the world and says these things in this country are important to everybody in the world. What are those four World Heritage sites that are located within London, England?
Four World Heritage sites
Big
in
Ben?
London. St. Paul's?
No.
House of Parliament.
Cathedral.
Westminster Abbey?
Yeah. Westminster Abbey is one of them. Yes. Okay, yeah.
The castle.
Buckingham Palace?
No, the palaces are not here.
That wouldn't be that special to everybody, though.
Right.
What else is in London?
Let me think.
Thames River?
Nope. There's one I'm not familiar with, at least I'm not familiar with the name, but it is a garden.
Kensington Gardens?
Not Kensington.
How about the giant Ferris wheel?
Nope.
Yeah, the eye.
No, not the Millennium Eye. It says Kew Gardens here. K-E-W.
Oh, that's outside of London. Okay. That's in Richmond.
Sweeney Todd's old shop?
Nope.
Kew Gardens is nice.
Rather grim place within the city
Tower
of London.
London.
Tower of London. And a rather timely place around London.
Big Ben.
Nope.
No?
Timely place.
Oh, my gosh. I really thought it was going to be Big Ben.
It's iconic.
It's all over.
It's 50% if I give you that it's Greenwich. Where the international
the Prime Meridian
is. Yes, the Prime Meridian. Mm. Mm-hmm. According to a 2000 sentence, what percentage of Hamtramck residents claim to be of Polish descent?
As of when?
2000.
Okay, because it's now much
less.
More.
Yeah.
33%.
It's lower.
Yeah.
25.
It's lower.
15.
It's lower.
1.
It's higher.
Oh.
4.
It's higher.
7.
It says here 10.9%. We'll say 11%.
We were getting
As
there.
Of 2000?
As of 2000. Very small.
I would say it's probably less than that now, but I would have thought in 2000 it'd be more.
Yep. All right. Let's see what we got here. Okay. In Portland, Oregon, what animal do they use instead of a groundhog for their annual celebration of
Groundhog
pig.
Day? Oh, no.
Whistle pig. Good idea.
Platypus.
An otter?
No.
What else is in port?
Beaver. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It is a whistle pig. It's a hedgehog.
It's a hedgehog. A whistle pig.
I've never heard it called that.
That is.
Oh, that was.
Is it some weird Canadian thing?
No, it was a weird Heather thing.
It was a previous question from several weeks ago.
Is that why I have that on my Facebook right now?
I just know whistle pig as a distillery.
I did not understand why I had a picture of that.
No, Heather was trying to come up with other terms for what kind of
possums, I think.
No, she was.
Groundhogs?
Groundhogs.
Yeah.
And she looked it up, and whistle pig is another term for groundhog.
Do you know that on average, I think it's 109 groundhogs have played Puxtawny Phil?
Thanks, Amber, for
Amber.
Wonderful
Send more.
Questions. We have a set of questions from Eric Alessandri of Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And I've checked into these. These are pretty cool. Who is the only member of the Mercury 7 who actually walked upon the moon?
Buzz Aldrin?
No.
It says here.
Did he?
Let me see.
Mercury 7.
John Glenn.
Good guess.
Glenn Campbell.
Definitely not Glenn Campbell.
All right.
Any ideas?
Hold on. Let's see. Not Neil Armstrong.
Not Neil Armstrong.
No, because he was.
He definitely
no,
walked
he wasn't.
I know all this, of course, because my 9-year-old just did a report on Neil Armstrong.
Shepard, Gus Grissom.
Yep, that was it. It was Alan Shepard is what it says here.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Only member of the seven to walk on the moon.
Is he the one that just passed away?
Alan Shepard? No, that's John Glenn.
I think that was John Glenn. Yeah, yeah. No,
John Glenn was a couple years ago.
John Glenn passed away.
Neil Armstrong just passed away.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
9 months ago, I think, something like that.
During the Depression, Frank Lloyd Wright made more money at his second job than in his first job as an architect. What was his other job?
Annoying people.
He was a millwright.
Possibly true, but not what's being looked
Hurdy
for.
Hurdy-gurdy player.
No. Actually, it's sort of up your alley, Professor Cho.
Illustrator.
Artist? Not.
He was a hack?
Photographer.
Oh.
No. No, but you're getting closer.
He did caricatures at Cedar Point.
Professor.
Painter.
You look like a house.
It says here he was a Japanese art dealer on the side.
I did not know that.
There you go. Huh. That was a very good question, Eric. We appreciate that one.
I remember touring Taliesin West, and they never said anything about that.
That's pretty interesting. Hmm. You got to fund one passion with the other, right?
Hawk it somehow.
Which Middle East dictator was once presented with the key to the city of Detroit?
Saddam Hussein.
Absolutely.
By Coleman Young.
Yep. In 1980, Chaldean Catholic priest Jacob Yasso made a trip to Baghdad where he congratulated new leader Saddam Hussein and presented him with the key to the city of Detroit with Coleman Young's blessing.
Well, they really blew it, didn't they?
Well, in return, Hussein donated $200,000 to Yasso's church.
There we go.
Yes.
It's always that money part at the end.
Absolutely. Let's see. At the very first modern Olympics, what award did winners receive? That is first place.
A laurel wreath.
A high five.
That's a good response, but that's not what it says here.
Parking validation.
A high five. A parking validation.
A slap on the tuchus.
No, it says that it was a silver medal was the first place, old first place award. Maybe they were low on gold or something.
So what was second place?
Does not say.
Yeah, here's your copper coin, kid. Congrats.
Maybe there was only one place.
Oh, could have been only one place.
Yeah, but do you remember like some of the weird events they used to have? Like, was it like tug of war? They had arts and literature, if I remember right.
In the Olympic Games?
Yeah, they had weird.
I wonder why they didn't retroactively give one to Bob Dylan.
Yeah, really?
You, can pick so up you can't way, see yeah. my eye roll through yeah. the speakers of your podcast.
Yes.
The use of the word wicked to mean good or cool and the word t-shirt first showed up in print from what Jazz Age author?
Hmm. Oh, boy.
Wizard. I mean, wicked. Yeah, it says Fitzgerald, yeah. Oh, both occurred in the novel This Side of Paradise, if you can believe
so
it.
So what was t-shirt prior to? Like F-shirt? Or, you know,
It doesn't look like an F.
Well,
F-shirt
no,
for
man.
Our friends on, you know, well, with their arms on both sides of the
what was popular
bed.
There at that time was the A-shirt. You know, that, like,
oh.
The theaters. So a t-shirt looked like a T.
We've been cut off, unfortunately, and thanks a lot, Eric, but it's time to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Seymour.
Go away.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced today by Javon Holland. Technically directed by Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.